And we're on air, but I might just keep it in the background for a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah?
It might be like a little dun-dun-dun-dun that comes.
Coming up.
But.
Gotcha.
That's okay.
Yeah.
The listeners will just be surprised.
Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for tuning in. This is Luke, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, here for another week of Elephant Loaf, with wonderful, amazing special guest, Emma.
Hey.
And, I'm sorry. We had this whole thing before the show when I was talking about how I normally do the structure, and I did forget a part of the preamble to give you, which is, introduce yourself however you would like to. If that is, like, name major hometown, then that's that. If it's, hi, I'm Emma, and I really like dinosaurs, then that's cool. Anything in between, yeah.
Gee, all right. My name is Emma. I go to Tufts, assumably. I am a senior, about to graduate. I study English and environmental studies, and I'm from Texas, but before that, Oregon, and now Boston, which is exciting that I get to say that I'm from there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do I get to say I'm
from there? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
a part of me
now, I guess. And Luke and I know each other because we were co-leaders for the Tufts Wilderness Orientation. And I'm really excited to be here, and I love hanging out with Luke. He's the best.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, we're chock full of Abbott's frozen custard.
True.
Not a paid advertisement.
Not a paid advertisement, but
really good ice cream.
We did get really good ice cream from a place called Abbott's right before this.
And I'm ready to go.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's jump into some questions.
Yeah.
I always like to start with music questions just because we start with a song. It's a very natural transition from there. Why do you like Mephisto Waltz number 1?
I don't know exactly. I have been listening to a lot of Liszt recently. I think because I like how he kind of goes through these like abrupt transitions between really, really intense, look at me, whoa, this is so flashy and fun, and kind of like this more, I wouldn't say melancholic, but just casual kind of ebb and flow of the music, and I like that, but every piece seems to have a motif, even though it features a lot of different tones throughout,
yeah.
And there's like dissonance, but it always seems to fit well, and it just is like a very uniform composition, which I like. But I don't really know a lot about Liszt, so I don't really know what I'm talking about, but yeah.
And you do sound just how you're talking through it all. It sounds like you listen to a fair amount of classical music, though.
I listen to a lot of classical music. I wish that I were more well-versed in, like, the mechanics of it. I can't really speak to... I used to, like, study classical music when I was younger, but I've lost a lot of the music theory side of things. And I don't know. I'm not super well-acquainted with composers or their styles or eras. Someone told me that I like romantic classical music once, so I just kind of say that, but
cool,
don't really know what that means.
I have exactly one Liszt fact, which is that there was such a phenomenon around him and his music when he was, you know, alive and popular, that much like there was Beatlemania, Listomania was actually like a thing that people were aware of as a concept, which I maybe don't understand the concept of people like losing their mind over classical music, but at the time, I mean, that's what you listen to, you know?
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Oh, that's a cool fact. I have a joke, an appropriate joke, that I forget 90% of it except the punchline.
Perfect.
So I'm just gonna kind of ad-lib the beginning.
Excellent.
But it's something along the lines of, so two composers are going to the grocery store, and what is the one thing that they need?
What is it, Emma?
Their Chopin Liszt.
That's really good.
It's kind of good. Yeah.
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 They probably got to go Bach home for that, right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make sure you get your Rachmaninoff.
Yeah.
Discount, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at most grocery stores, I know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Of course.
Awesome. So, I'm gonna get into the question that you submitted, mainly because I am very interested to talk about it. And we talked about it a little bit before the show. It's neat. Emma came up with the question, what, beyond a particular location, is a place that is important to you? And we talked a little bit about what that means. I think I've been stewing on it for a little bit, and I've got some ideas, but for the audience and anyone who may be listening, and me when I re-listen to this in 2 years and forget, what did you mean by that?
Yeah. So, I don't have an answer to this question, and I don't know exactly what this question is asking, but I'm broadly interested in and kind of am studying how, like, place exceeds something that's bound by geographic coordinates. And so place can look like a sense of self or a particular relationship that you have to your environment, whatever environment that is that you inhabit. And so when I was asking this, well, when we were talking about this question in the car, I was kind of thinking of, like, some own examples. So rather than a place being a specific locale or location, it can be a feeling that is usually connected with the location. So like washing dishes at the sink, or people watching and kind of like the feelings that are associated with those, or, you know, standing with the sun to your back. Like, that's not a particular location per se.
Yeah.
But it's something that is defined by being in a particular place.
Yeah.
And someone writes about place as being, like, place is space made familiar. So, mm-hmm. like, once you become acquainted with a space, it then becomes a place. So, like, your happy place, like, what's a feeling that you can feel comfortable sitting in?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of a broad question, but it's something that I have been stewing on as well, and, like, don't really think that I could come to a conclusion myself, but I don't know, I think it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's a really cool way of thinking about the ways we exist in, like, geographical locations that exist but not specific ones, if that makes any sense. That's how I'm maybe trying to interpret it.
Yeah.
But my first answer to this question is actually a state of transit, and I hope that's okay.
Oh, of course.
Which is when I get like the feeling of going to a, like, 3 or 4 a.m. on a drive to the airport, and no one else is out, and you feel like you've woken up before the entire world. And often my family would put the radio on, and there would be the one DJ going, "I'm the only one in the studio right now," you know, but, like, for all you lonely hearts out there, and there is this sense at once of being alone, but also being surrounded by the familiar, kind of, when you're driving through what is often your hometown toward the airport, and seeing all of the things that you know, but in a different light and at a different time than you usually see them.
Yeah, man, I'm smiling so much right now because I feel like that was just, like, the perfect response to that question.
Oh, well,
and I don't know
you.
Why, but it just makes sense. Like, there's kind of these places that we inhabit that aren't particular, but are kind of these, I wouldn't say that they're universal, because not everyone has the same experiences with place, but Yeah, I love that idea. I think that was a fantastic response.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was kind of thinking about was like at since coming to college, returning home and being in a friend's house, and like weirdly, I'm not close with a lot of my friends' parents, but just like having their parents around and seeing their family, the idea of reunion, you know, and seeing people I haven't seen in a while, and just a constant old friends, warm house, often like making food together and stuff like that.
Reuniting
with people is another one like that, where it's like there are a couple of memories that I have in mind and places that I can point to and, you know, say this is where I felt it at, but it's also kind of a decentralized thing where, you know, it can describe a lot of experiences, and I'm sure many experiences that other people have had as well.
Yeah. And I feel like that kind of relates to, I mean, I think you specified driving to the airport, but like coming home and driving home from the airport in the middle of the night, and you just kind of like let out the sigh and you start to see the old random billboards that you know and the trees that you know coming in, you know, across the highway on the distance, and you know every turn, and that like notion of familiarity I think is really a powerful part of places.
Totally.
Yeah.
I know you had said that you maybe didn't have any answers to this question, but have any emerged over the course of this conversation? It's okay if not.
Yeah, but I think I do get a lot of fulfillment from, I think there are these moments where we're like in a space or in a place rather, and then there's kind of this moment of, I think dissociation is kind of an intense word, but zooming out and you like look around and you're kind of catching glimpses of conversations that people are having, or you're watching people walk by and you're just kind of like a witness in the place and aren't really like a part of the sculpture that's happening around, but you're like looking at it like you're standing in a gallery. And I love moments like that because it feels weird when you kind of like flip-flop between, oh, now I'm, you know, one of the people, this is going way off into metaphor land,
hey,
but like,
keep
one,
going.
I'm like one of the people in the sculpture versus I'm like the person that's looking at the sculpture. And it can be really weird when you're like flipping back and forth between those two. But also I feel like it's fun to do that. Because you're kind of like, whoa, you know,
yeah,
look at where I just was. Like I was in this conversation back there and now I'm watching this whole other thing. And I feel like there are like a couple different places where that type of feeling can happen. Just kind of like a zoom out moment of being like, whoa, like there's a lot going on in the world that's not
me,
myself, and how I'm interacting with it.
Yeah.
And I think that can take shape in different forms, but I'm not really sure how exactly. I think it's hard to like pinpoint. And that's what I like about place. It's like, complicated, more complicated than we think, I think, at least. And the more I learn about it, the more I'm like, whoa, this is like so important. Like we interact with place and space all the time, and we never think about it as like a moving force in our lives. Or I don't, at least, as much.
But you know, it's always there. And I think for me, the idea of, I guess, kind of just what we've been talking about, the idea of different places being associated with different states of mind and almost kind of decentralizing your identity over, you know, when I go to Tisch, I go to Tisch Library, which is our on-campus library. I go there to study, you know, versus there are some, I don't know, at a dining hall, I'm there to socialize and to eat, and it's just, cool to see the different ways you inhabit different places, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that, like, kind of reminds me, I'm in this dance class now that's called Dance Movement and the Creative Process, and the professor's name is Renata, and her last name starts with a C, and I can't quite remember what her last name is, but I would highly recommend this class. It's really life-changing, and we did this, it's kind of, like, I guess she classified it as guerrilla art, where you kind of try to, like, disturb something, but we basically just, like, danced through the campus center and tried to... She describes it as awakening a space, which is different than disturbing a space, but so when you are, like, awakening a space, you're making yourself and other people think about it differently. And so when you said Tisch, you go to Tisch to study, I was like, yeah, but what if you went to Tisch to, like,
party,
get your, yeah, party, or, like, get your, you know, push-ups in? Like, it would be so different. And, like, we only associate it with, like, sitting at a desk and doing homework, but, like, it's a cool building. There's, like, all these infinite rows that have tons of books, and, like, if you think about it structurally and conceptually, it's like, that is a crazy structure. There's this whole like fishbowl atrium in the back that's beautiful. It, like, looks down over the hill. There's just, like, all these different things to it that we are blinded to by the sides of our cubicles.
exactly. And that was the weird thing last year. I don't know if you went to either of these, but they hosted both laser tag and a roller rink in Tisch.
No, but I wanted to go.
But, like, being in there and looking around, it's the same feeling of, like, going to school on, like, field day. And it's like, we're not here to study right now. We're not here to be in class right now. We're here to play capture the flag or whatever, you know? Yeah. Which is just so, so cool, but also, like, it's strange, but in a comforting way, I feel like.
Did it feel weird to you being there in that way?
A little bit. Yeah, not bad weird, just very noticeable, you know? Because you can put any number of neon lights on a place that you've spent hours and hours and hours studying, and you'll still understand all of the monotonous time you've spent reading there, no matter how much ABBA is playing in the background, you know?
Gosh. Something you should know about Luke and I is that we themed our trip around ABBA.
our wilderness orientation trip was A10, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. And I was meaning to tell you before the show, Lay All Your Love on Me by ABBA has been the soundtrack to this week for me. It has...
Fantastic.
That song can keep you going through anything.
Yeah, you can say that again. That song can keep
you going through anything.
Okay, thanks. I was hoping you wouldn't do that.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. Going back to what you were talking about with the sculpture metaphor a little earlier, have you ever done the dedicated kind of people watching where you, like, sit on a bench and go, I bet that guy's name is Aaron, and I bet he's on his way to the ice skating rink right now?
Yeah, I do love to people watch. I have three kind of, like, routine episodes of people watching, one of which is usually accidental, two of which are intentional. The intentional ones are before both my 10:30 classes. One of them is my literature of the English Renaissance class, and there's a couple benches, you know, outside. It's in Breaker.
Yep.
On the academic quad. And there's all those benches that line there. And I actually started sitting on the I started sitting on those benches back when I had a friend and I
before it was cool.
as though I'm the first person to ever sit on those benches. A friend and I were taking a class there last semester, and we would always go, like, before we would do it every day, but every day before class we would also ask each other, "Hey, you want to go bench this morning?"
Whoa.
So we would go and bench, which just meant sitting on the bench and people watching. And I've kind of maintained that on that bench this year, even though she can't join me. And then also just sitting at the Jackson gym before my dance class on those steps, which is fun because that is like a heavily trafficked area and there are definitely some identifiable characters now.
Mm-hmm.
And then my house actually is a really wonderful place to people watch because it has those windows that look over Boston Ave. And so we've kind of developed myriad of Boston Ave characters, as we like to call them. And I won't go into too much detail, but we really only identify them as, oh, girl who's always on the phone, or mm-hmm. person with the overflowing backpack, or, you know, anything like that. So if either of you are listening tonight, this one's for you.
This one goes out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you like to people watch?
I have some, like, I guess maybe just the one, but I have at least one good, strong memory of my dad and I people watching in that very, like, you know, who do you think that guy's name is? And what's he doing right now? Why is he looking concerned as he's walking?
Yeah.
And that woman with her dog, what do you think her dog's name is? Mm. And stuff like that. And that, I really enjoyed that. It's a bit of a creepy thing to do, you know? Yeah. But that, it's nice. And I really want to go back to what you said earlier with the sculpture metaphor of just like looking around and understanding how much that's going on that's not you.
Mm.
You know, because I don't know, this is maybe like a thing to say, but like we don't get enough moments like that. We just don't, you know. Mm. And it's cool to think about what other people might be going through right now and what the inside of their head looks like as you kind of just relax and stop thinking about what's going on in your life. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I don't think it's creepy at all, because I think, I mean, on the flip side, it's fun to consider how other people maybe are, yeah, just creating this whole story that does not apply to me, but like mm-hmm. applies to me for them. And that's kind of a nice thought. And like, they have no idea who I am or what my story is, but like, there are infinite possibilities when it comes to storytelling and
totally
creating stories about people. I don't know. That's a sweet memory. And I like the emphasis that you have on guessing people's names. That's a fun one.
I think I've got a friend that is very sort of interested in the idea of names and nicknames. Mm. And I don't know, it's to use one phrase that I use, it's one of those things where I don't know how much my name has influenced who I am, you know? Like, if I would have been named something completely different, would I be a different person? But
yeah.
I think that they have a lot of character to them, and that's an interesting thing to think about, because they don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, functionally, it just needs to be a unique identifier. It doesn't need to carry anything with it, but
right.
it does.
Right. Do you... This might be kind of a personal question that you don't have to answer, but do you feel like you identify with your name strongly?
I do. I do. Yeah. And people who have known me for a while have heard this story, but I have at various points in time gotten frustrated when people think that my name is longer than Luke. A lot of people go, it's got to be, it has to be a shortening for something else.
Like, what would it be short for?
Lucas is mainly someone will get jokingly mad at me and go, Lucas Poutler, get over here. And I just get to simply respond, that's not my name.
Yeah.
And then that kind of sparks, sometimes I lie to people and tell them that it's Lucius. And
hey, you tricked me into that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I really fell for that.
But as I told you back then, I think in college I've been doing it a little bit less because weirdly enough, people get upset when you lie to them about a core part of your identity, which makes sense. Yeah, yeah. But on that note, my parents actually a while back went like, you're a legal adult now. You could lengthen your name to Lucius if you wanted to. And
not, tell me you at least considered it.
Oh, where I was going with this is it hasn't been the front of my mind all the time, but I think it'd be hilarious.
I think it'd be awesome.
I think it'd be awesome, but it's a lot.
Right.
That's a big step, especially for a joke, kind of. But
and also, yeah. I mean, your name is Luke. You identify with Luke.
Yeah.
Why change it?
Yeah. Do you feel you identify with Emma?
Weirdly, I don't. And I feel strange saying that because there's not another name that I identify with more.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not like, and then I'm just like an empty chasm of a nameless person.
Oh, well,
but
that sounds pleasant.
But I was almost going to be named Rosalie, which... Mm-hmm.
Got moved in some part to your middle name then, right?
Kind of. I'm Emma Rose Marie. But Rosalie was my mom's name, so...
Oh.
I think that's why it speaks to me.
Yeah.
And I used to be so grateful that I was never named Rosalie when I was little. Because I was like, I don't want to sound like a 90-year-old woman. I'm in second grade. But it's, yeah.
It's a reasonable thing for a second grader to think.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah. At least I wasn't, well, I hope you
At
don't
least
have.
I wasn't called Luke.
My grandma's name was Eunice.
Oh.
Which... Yeah. It's a funky one. I mean, love the name. Love Eunice.
Oh, absolutely.
Got it. Don't know if I could say that if I was named Eunice, I would identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
But still a cool name.
Would you, if you found a name that you felt really embodied you, that you identified with, would you change your name, do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think if it was just like an arbitrary name that I stumbled upon and liked.
Yeah.
If
it were given to you. I don't know in what context, but if it were bestowed or
presented
earned.
To me on a silver platter.
Mm-hmm. As names are.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. Very situational question. But, yeah, Emma's fine. It's my name.
There you go.
People call me it. I respond.
As it needs to.
It serves its purpose.
There you go. You feeling another question? You feeling a song? What's?
I'm feeling a song.
Heck
I'm
yeah.
I'm feeling a song.
Let's get into it. What would you like for us to play?
I would like to first double check the lyrics on this song.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, while you're looking at that,
yeah.
I might do a little bit of this, if
Great.
That's okay.
Yeah,
do you have one in mind?
No.
Okay. So.
You pick your favorite.
Ooh, my favorite. That could take a second. Let's see. Let me try and find my... my favorite morbid one or my favorite not morbid
not one? Morbid
okay
maybe like the fruits and veggies one or one of those
I was
type beats
I was gonna go for the fruits and veggies one yeah that's let me find that I can also talk about walking and walking being good exercise
yeah we like to walk
so although other physical activities can provide a more vigorous workout, walking is easy. It requires no special equipment and is good exercise for most adults. In urban areas, walking can be an excellent alternative to driving or even taking public transportation. For example, it's just a little over 2.5 miles from the Tufts campus in Medford to Harvard Square in Cambridge, which is a distance that can be walked in about 45 minutes by a healthy adult. It can get you fresh air, exercise, burn calories, and take you to Insomnia Cookies, which is just like... like if we're talking that? About... No, it doesn't say that in the thing. I'll get to the rest of it. But if we're talking about the distance from Tufts campus to Harvard Square, I feel like you need a reason to go to Harvard Square.
Right.
There are plenty of reasons.
Pick Insomnia?
That's my reason to go to Harvard. Most, genuinely, I think most of the times I've been to Harvard Square in college, like out of all of the times, over half of them have been because I've been seeking out Insomnia Cookies.
Interesting.
Yep. So judge me as you will.
To each their own.
Yep. That's
to each their own, Luke.
There you go. I do not feel judged whatsoever right now. It can burn you calories, it can save you money, and with all of the inattentive and otherwise impaired drivers on the road, it's safer than riding a bike. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Very, very astute PSA.
Of course.
So?
Yes.
I've double-checked.
You've double-checked?
No. Poopy potty bad words.
No.
So
no pee-pee poo-poo words.
I am going to play, not myself. I'm going to...
bust out the song right now.
Emma. Yeah. A song called Source Decay by the Mountain Goats.
What?
Who are my favorite band. It's a band that has meant a lot to me throughout my life, especially in high school. And particularly because they have an album called All Hail West Texas, and I had a very formative 4 years attending high school in Texas. Not in West Texas, but
close
really
enough.
All the same. Just kidding. And this is a really beautiful song off that album that is... a little sad if you read too into the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
It gets into lost love and everything like that. But I think it's just a beautiful song and speaks to memory in a way that I really like. And yeah, it's a great song. So let's give it a listen.
Heck yeah.
with all the others like it. I start sorting through the pile. I check the pictures and the postmarks and the captions and the stamps for signs of any pattern at all. When I come up empty-handed, the feeling almost overwhelms me. I let a few of my defenses fall, and I smile a bitter smile. It's not a pretty thing to see. I think about a railroad platform back in 1983, and I remember the train headed south out of Bangkok down.
And that was Source Decay by the Mountain Goats.
Yes, it was.
We were remarking on a sticker on the wall which says "Destroy Machismo," and that's a very machismo thing to write.
Yeah,
we think.
I think that it should say "Nurture away from machismo."
Mm-hmm. I offered consider an alternative to machismo.
I like that one.
I like yours.
Oh. Well, Luke, what did you think of Source Decay?
I really enjoyed it and would like to listen to it again when it's just me and the song.
When we're not giggling about machismo.
When we're not having a side conversation about machismo.
Yes.
It's a great word, by the way. Like, meaning I'm so on, yeah. but it's got a good punch.
A certain sprezzatura.
It's got a certain sprezzatura. Quickly, would you like to share what that
sure.
means? Or lengthily, however you feel.
Well, I never use that word. Well, actually, I've only used it twice tonight, and those have been the first two times that I've ever used it colloquially.
Whoa.
But, sprezzatura does not mean how I use it, which is just kind of like, I envision it as like a verbalization of jazz hands.
which is a great way to like visualize any word, but
sprezzatura was created by who's the author, Castiglione, who I think is Italian, in the Book of Courtier, and yes, he's Italian, and it means the art of disguising art, so acting with nonchalance. But I don't mean it in that way. I mean it in the jazz hands way.
I really appreciate both meanings of the word.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Dual meaning.
Yeah. We talked about getting into a question, and so Emma, I will ask you from our section about Tufts. What is something you've realized since coming to college?
Yeah. So, I guess to respond to this question, I'll share a piece of advice that I was given recently by my friend Jacqueline's mother, Jill. And Jill told me we were having kind of like a "I'm freaking out about my future" phone call. Mm-hmm. And she like shares my interests academically and
nice.
Life-ally. So, we were just kind of having like a career call, I guess. And she said that when you are applying to jobs and really pitching yourself in any way, which I don't really like the thought of, and I don't like to describe it that way, but you get the point.
Yep.
Don't diminish the skills that you've acquired that are not like hard skills or conventional skills. And so the example that she gave was in college she got really good at bird identification, and that ended up being very useful to her in her career, not because it like helped explicitly with the job that she was doing, but I think like it gave her the skill sets, you know, to to be aware, to be, to have a good eye, to learn how to compare things, to practice her memorization. And so I think, I guess this wouldn't be like the greatest thing I've learned in college, but it's something that I've been thinking about recently as I kind of phase into the next part of my life, is that like there are skills that we develop that we don't often put in the context of like education or class. Like I think a lot of the skills that people harp on are like things that you learn in jobs, like, you know, networking and Excel and hard skills, you know. But there's like, I don't know, like you who are an excellent radio host, like that is a huge skill that will be incredibly advantageous to you. And we were just talking about this earlier, like it teaches you how to hold a good conversation, it teaches you how to be a good listener, and like all these skills that we're practicing in college, you know, cohabitating with people, learning how to dance it up in Tish. Like
sometimes you gotta dance it up in Tish.
Sometimes you gotta dance it up in Tish. All these like random things, I think, create a more holistically apt version of ourselves. And I don't think we should limit ourselves to like
I know Python.
Yeah, right. The things that we've been taught. Like I think that there are things that we learn on our own, or things that we like just develop as quote unquote personality traits or interests or whatever, that I think are skills and like are very useful. And I think that's something that I've like really had to kind of retrain my mind around in college. Is just realizing like, this random thing that I'm interested in is actually like cool and useful, and like is, I don't know. I guess that generally is my response to that question. But I don't know. It's hard to like, there's a lot. It's a hard question.
It's a hard question.
It's a really hard question.
You've given a great answer. Whether I've said it on air or not each week, every show, I would say, without fail, with different questions each week, but I get an answer that's just like, that is whether I knew it or not while I was writing the question. That's why I put the question on there. And you absolutely, you know, gave one of those answers tonight, because that's just, that's part of this for me, is I'm trying to like learn, and I'm trying to understand the different things that other people are thinking about and the different things that other people find interesting. And I, to be aware of all of the skills and all of the parts of the different skills that can be applied in different ways. I mean, there's, to go back to memories of my father as an example, you know, when you're a child and you get, and you're doing your own thing and you're not aware of what's going on around you at all, and you're in someone's way because of it, you know, and then a family member or someone will kind of be like, hey, you know, come over here, you're blocking the shopping cart at the grocery store. That kind of like awareness, I think, is something that I feel my dad would help me out with a lot. And then you internalize it, and then you apply it to other things, you know, like with birds, it's seeing things. I mean, honestly, just awareness as a concept, I feel like, can both be applied so socially, but also so like not socially at all, where it's just like, I am playing Where's Waldo with the world, you know? As someone that also plays D&D, that's why I think it's really cool that perception is a wisdom skill, is because your ability to pick out things around you, I mean, soon enough you'll start also paying attention to other people and how they're feeling, and, you know, being aware of that as you move through a space and as you are part of groups.
I totally love that.
So I think it was a fantastic answer. Is somewhere in there what I was meaning to say. But that's why I put it on there, because I, you know, thinking about it that way is is both valuable in the boring real world, like, oh, now I can market myself better to other people way, which I don't like, but is an unfortunate but necessary part of our society, is how I've been looking at it recently. But it's also, like, a valuable thing for you to find self-worth, you know? Of, like, there are hundreds of things that I'm good at, you know, and they're little bits and pieces, but they make up together great things, and the pieces can be swapped around and made into these new bigger skills or different things. It's awesome. Totally. It's super cool.
Yeah. I had never thought about perception as being wisdom, as a skill in, or what do you call them? Like a
skill.
Yeah. A skill in D&D. And what you say about awareness tying into wisdom reminds me of a quote by Mary Oliver, which is that awareness is the first step towards devotion. And I think at this time in my life, I consider devotion's like a specific word. But I think that it encapsulates a lot of, like, good ideas, which is kind of just, like, holding devotion for the world and, like, being grateful. I think grateful has become a very rote word in my vocabulary and is kind of starting to lose its meaning. But maintaining that is, at this point in my life, for myself, like, the largest, it leads to a lot of wisdom. Like, I think that it's a large part of what being wise is, or at least that's one of the biggest criterias of wisdom for me, and something that I try to work on a lot in my life.
Awareness is? Gratitude is?
Yeah. I think awareness as a step towards devotion. Yeah. If that makes sense.
I'd say it does. I think Mary Oliver says it does.
Yeah.
She's smart. I trust her.
Mary Oliver is smart.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And you know I'm going to turn this question right around to you.
I do. I saw it coming.
Luke, what is something you've realized since coming to college?
So just to give you both answers, last time I was asked this on air, I talked about the amount of times you've got like 25 to 30 minutes that you don't know what to do with, and you've got to kind of you need to schedule your own life in college in a way that you didn't need to in high school and in a way that you didn't need to when you were in elementary school. Tonight I will give a different answer. It's weird to just casually say, like, this is a thing that stuck with me from 2 years ago, but this is a thing that stuck with me from 2 years ago. One of my friends from high school talked about the fact that, high school and college are different in the kinds of diversity that they hold, because in high school you get, like, no one chooses to be in high school in a way. You know, you're there because your family lives in that area, and that can be a source of unity among people, cultural unity, socioeconomic unity, other stuff like that. But at the same time, you get a whole range of people, because I mean, some people are gonna, you know, grow up to go to college. Some people are going to go into the military. Some people are going to do any number of different things with their lives, you know? And then you go to college, where the uniting factor is that not only did everyone want to go to college, but everyone chose to apply to the university that you went to. And that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And so there's a unity there, but still, every day I'm reminded of how different we all are. And that's a crazy, awesome, and beautiful thing. But as soon as you realize, you know, my mom didn't let me watch SpongeBob as a kid, and because of that, I am different from everyone else in my suite, for example. It's just, you start picking up on all of these different things that we're all different in some ways, but we're all similar. It feels like a stupid thing to say, but it's interesting.
I think that's really interesting, and I've honestly never thought about it that way. And I wonder if, like, I mean, as we age,
yes,
our minds expand, right? We get more experiences under our belt,
mm-hmm.
but subsequently, like, we become more particular,
yeah,
because we're kind of hacking away at the edges of our lives, trying to, like, cut out all the, you know, dark matter that's floating around us that we don't care about, figuring out, like, okay, what do we want, and what do we want to be around and be associated with.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, as we move through life, will our relationships with people be more dictated by that, like, by those particularities? Or do you find yourself in, you know, like, every 5 years there's a reset, and when you go through another era, you're, you know, met by an entirely new demographic? And I mean, I guess that just kind of depends on how you set up your life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, yeah, it's interesting to think about.
Throwing a lot of praise on my parents tonight, but and I guess they did kind of criticize my mom for not letting me watch SpongeBob, but they have slowed down a little bit since they had my sister and I, but they've done a very good job of moving around every couple years. And I think I like how that kind of segments a life. And keeps on switching you up. Keeps you on your toes,
you know? On your toes, you know.
And it's good to be on your toes, I feel like.
We love the toes.
We do. We do.
I personally am a big fan of toes. Sorry.
Lucas. Yeah. Yep. All right.
I'm laughing.
It's probably a good time to mention that. Just start wrapping up the show a little bit, because time flies when you're having fun. Yeah, and we can go into a song in a second, just so we don't forget to. I'm going to say thank you guys for listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. What else have we got before?
Well, one last question, and I just, because absolutely, I need to know your answer.
Yes.
Where's your favorite MBTA line and why?
It's the red line. I like it. The classic, because I live nearby, the classic move for me in high school, not that I even, you know, I wasn't doing this every weekend. I was doing this a couple times a year, but drive into Alewife, park at Alewife, and then spend the afternoon in Cambridge with some friends.
That's lovely.
How about you?
Also the red line, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hear something, but
could be from distant the voices. Outside. Yeah, yeah, distant voices for sure.
Also the red line, the part where it rises up out of the abyss.
And you get to see the city.
The Charles, and it's like, whoa, I live in Boston, yo.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
That's how, I think it in that voice every time I see the river.
Yeah. Okay, should we close out with a song?
Let's close out with a song.
All right. This is, ooh, it's a tough decision, but I'm going to go for When I Was Done Dying by Dan Deacon.
Incredible.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Out, and it startled me so when I burst out a shout out. mouths grinning wildly, expressing life. As they stood there above me, being flanked on each side, I felt no need to fear them, no reason to hide. So I reached up to touch, but they faded too soon, yet their mouths still remained and stacked up towards the moon. How that ladder of mouth waved so soft in the night, and I looked up in awe at that beautiful sight.